Please be seated. The events in this particular story happened some 30 or 40 years ago now. There was a young couple who had just come back home from, or he just brought his girl home from a date. They'd had a great time together, and he felt emboldened by how well things had gone, and he decided that he was going to try for that very important first kiss. He had been thinking about this for quite some time, hoping and waiting for this opportunity. In order to hide his nervousness, he put on this air of confidence and nonchalance, and he leaned with his hand against the wall of the house and said to her, "Alice, how about a goodnight kiss?" She was horrified and said, "Are you crazy? My parents will see us." "Oh, come on," he says. "Who's going to see us at this hour?" "No, please," she said. "Can you imagine if we get caught?" "Oh, come on," he said. "There's no one around. They're all asleep. "No way," she said. "It's just too risky." "Oh, please. I like you so much." "No, no, and no. I like you too, but I just can't." "Please?" Suddenly, to the utter surprise of both of them, the porch light went on, and the girl's little sister showed up in her pajamas, her hair all disheveled, and a sleepy voice, the little sister said, "Dad says, go ahead and give him a kiss, or I could do it. If need be, he'll come down himself and do it. But for crying out loud, tell him to take his hand off the intercom." Hope. He was just hoping for a kiss. You know, hope is one of the most powerful words in the English language. It evokes thoughts of sunrises that push back all kinds of darkness. Hope suggests promise, possibility, and expectation. Hope makes us able to keep on going, or if we've fallen, to get up and try again. Hope is a gift that our faith gives us to meet the needs of our hungry and often weary hearts. Hope is one of the three primary strands of our Christianity: faith, hope, and love. These three compose the very essence of our Christianity. So, what exactly is our Christian hope all about? Is it about simply hoping that we have a good life? Is it simply hoping that we'll have health and wealth? Isaiah alludes to it in the passage we heard from him. "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots." It looks like that stump is just a stump. It looks as though the tree is dead, but all of a sudden, life appears. The prophet says that although the line and lineage of David's proud heritage has been finished, it looks like that, God says it's going to rise again. And when it does, the entire world will be remade. In the epistle reading, we hear from Paul, "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by perseverance or steadfastness, by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Later he quotes from the prophets and says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, because the root of Jesse has come. In him the Gentiles shall hope." Who is this root? Well, of course it's Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. When we come to the gospel reading, we meet John the Baptizer. Now, is he an odd fellow or what? He comes dressed in camel skins and with a leather belt. He looks like a caveman. He eats bugs and endures bee stings to snag honey from the hive. He's not only odd, but he's odd and he's fascinating. He doesn't really belong in the Old Testament, nor does he belong in the New. We don't see John on any of our Christmas cards. We don't see him much on any Advent calendars either. And yet, he is central to the Advent season. When Christians organize the scriptures, they change the order of the Jewish Old Testament so that it would end with the book of Malachi. The reason they did that is because the last chapter, the last sentences of Malachi end like this: "Behold, I will send to Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Even though Jewish scriptures did not end with Malachi, the Jews were very familiar with this book. And when John the Baptizer came onto the scene dressed like Elijah the prophet and preaching the Messiah was coming very soon and the end of this age was about to happen, people got very stirred up. The text says people flocked to hear him, to be baptized from him. The Jews of his day may not have been sure what to make of him, but he was passionate. His message was compelling. His message had hope. The Messiah was coming. The kingdom of God was almost here, just around the corner. For the Jews, the kingdom of heaven was where God was ruling, where God is. Therefore, if the kingdom was coming to earth, that meant God himself was coming to earth. He would be here again like he was here in the Garden of Eden. His arrival was just around the corner. And Jesus did arrive. He was Emmanuel, God with us. If you look at the passage of Isaiah in our readings today, we see how Jesus fulfilled parts of it. He was a branch from the root, from the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord did rest upon him. He had a spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might. Righteousness was the belt around his waist. Yet, as we read through that whole passage, we see there were portions of the scripture that were not fulfilled. He didn't destroy all the wicked. He did not establish justice and equity and remove all suffering. Small children still cannot play around dangerous animals. The wolf does not live with the lamb. God's kingdom is not completely established here on earth. There is an already but not yet aspect to God's kingdom. The already part is that Jesus has come. He has given his people the Holy Spirit and new life so that we can be born again to become people of God, children of God. So what are we hoping for? We have the Holy Spirit with God's presence in our hearts. We have God's people around us. And yet, even though we have the Holy Spirit, even though we have each other, we have an ache in our hearts as we look at the problems around us, the evil and the suffering in our world and in our own lives. And when our hearts are aching, like the Jews of John's day, we long for the coming of Emmanuel. We have Advent songs that echo this longing. O come, Emmanuel. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. We desire to see Jesus with our own eyes. We desire to hear him speak with our own ears. We desire to be in his physical presence. And we yearn for his complete establishment of his kingdom, where evil and sadness and hurt are all put away. That's why the reading from Romans concludes with, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Our Christian hope is our yearning and expectation of the return of Jesus in the establishment of his kingdom here on earth. Christian hope is not an empty and shallow wish, like "I hope we have good weather today," or like the young fellow who was hoping simply for a good night kiss. Our Christian hope is not a feeling that leaves us depressed and frustrated. No, our Christian hope fills us with joy and peace because we know Christ will return. We know our faith and way of life will be vindicated. We know that God's kingdom will be completely and firmly established. And we know that sorrow, sin, and death will finally be put away forever. And it is this hope, this expectation, that gives us the strength and courage to pursue our Christian life, showing the world what God's new humanity, God's new creation looks like. So that as we strive at becoming better Christians, more loving, kinder, more patient, more giving, we do these things with the hope and expectation in our hearts that Jesus Christ will return soon. Amen.